Daddy, we live in the dream, got dead in the field. I am a drink like Champions League. Every 25 hits, even the only feed. Man, I'm about to be rolled like a Ferrari. We got a gun, this is the love of the tweet. Create my own leagues, so off we compete.
Although here's Gnabry, he's on a hat-trick and he's in.
This is Corner Flag Talk.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode on the Corner Flag Talk podcast. It feels weird to be recording here, being very honest with you guys. Due to some technical difficulties, the studio is unavailable at this moment in time. Due to our commitment to get this pod out to you guys after nothing for the last like 3 weeks, we're here, we're live to talk about the 7 most important things in football this evening. Hey, 7 is definitely number dog. Arsenal scored the 90+7. Aside, collect 7. Yeah, that's really the most important things this weekend, being very honest here, because Man City, nobody really cares about it. However, We still have to have our resident Man City fan on the show. Virgil, was a good, my guy.
Said it. Like I said, people are going to fuse United haters, boy. But that is something that I wear as a badge that I wear proudly.
Amen.
I will wear proudly. I don't care.
Let the record show that there are 4 United fans on Corner Flag Talk, and we asked all 4 of them to come on the show today, and none of them were quote unquote available. So pick up that with them.
Funny how that happens.
To be fair, 2 of them said no before the game start. So Aidan and Nikhil have out. The other 2, well, that is up to all them. And then we also have Yuan, people can hit you with you're waiting on it with 7-0 to come on the pod.
Dog, you can pull up the chat right now. You messaged me. Let me actually pull up the chat here, dog. Where is it? You messaged me at 9:01 AM and I replied at 11:38 AM. I said virtual. So he said yes. And 11:44 I said day. And the game kicked off at 12:30. So I was here regardless, man.
Regardless. Look, up until this morning, we would have started this episode with probably the Arsenal-Bournemouth game, just based on how it went. But after, I can't say it here, the most embarrassing result in Premier League history, we have to start there. And we've been very honest with it, right? I would have said that even if a United fan was on the show, it is the most embarrassing result in Premier League history. You lost 7-0 to your direct ups in their worst season in nearly 10 years, in your best season since your legendary manager has left, and your whole 7, bro. Not even like 3-4 either. You were 1-0 at halftime. It was still in your hands. Your whole 6-1/2. That is embarrassing. It is the most embarrassing. And you didn't even have an excuse. It had no red card. It had no big player that was missing through suspension. It have no injury that happened midway through the game. There was no excuse. This was United's best 11 on display here. And they still had to hold that.
Christian Eriksen was injured, dog.
Yeah, Anthony was on the field.
Nobody was using Eriksen. Nobody is using Eriksen as an excuse when they was winning against Barca, when they was winning cup final, when they was beating all the bottom half teams and putting together the title race portfolio. I want to hear it now. Yuan, there's no other place to start, bro. So hear this, right? You're going to talk about the game, but like in all seriousness, don't talk about Salah yet. We have a whole thing dedicated to Salah today after him becoming the record goal scorer in Liverpool's history.
Right.
So,
well,
talk about everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, what can I say? You know, we can hear my voice is gone. Exactly what we kind of need. I think most Liverpool fans that are going to this game quite apprehensive. Just given off, you know, like, watch the form this quadruple competing side is in now, you know. They don't win the Carabao. They looking like they're going to win Europa and FA Cup and then the Premier League running, as the fans have been informing us. But, yeah, I mean, when I saw the lineup, the midfield was a little questionable. But, boy, I mean, you know, I never know what we're going to get with Liverpool. This is the fifth clean sheet in a row we got today, which is what I wanted at the end of the day.
Yes.
I think by goal number four, I said, yeah, we had to keep a clean sheet too. Otherwise, it's just, you know. But that man played a heart out, boy. It was a real top performance. I think down to, from like the whole backline go forward, I can't, it was spotless. Like, obviously, that's an early moment, so but that's some questionable referee decisions too, boy. Like, Lissandro elbowing Salah in the face, and then I see Rashford clip himself and Fabinho get booked for it, and I was like, what's going on there? But yeah, I mean, Cody Gakpo, phenomenal. His first goal put Champions League Varane on some twists. That, like, that two-touch finish, boy, just the little cut back in and cooler. Like, and then Darwin Nunez, again, I think people need to write their apologies, though. He's showing what he can do recently, you know. And he's been in a good vein of form. Goal against Newcastle, goal against Madrid, two goals today. And two real good goals, I think, too. Like, real. It was the header. And then, well, two headers taken quickly. And just overall, like, a real good performance. I guess I'm not going to talk about Salah, but we can talk about Salah later on. I think Javi Elliott was absolutely brilliant. And it's somebody that a lot of Liverpool Twitter has always been like, oh, I don't know what club season him. But look, he was 18 when he broke into the first team. Got injured. Klopp still has him as like part of his midfield. He's played in every Liverpool game this season, every single one, which is not a good thing. I don't think he should be playing in every Liverpool game, but you know, for just more rotational purposes. But dog, the kid is special. And today, he played against a very experienced midfielder in Casemiro, Fred, and I guess Weghorst is the third man, Bruno Fernandes as well. And he cooked, dog. He cooked. He had some shaky moments. He gave away the ball early on, but as he grew a lot into the game, I think he's better for fit up the field, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that assist for Nunez, phenomenal too. Henderson has criticized this man a lot, but great performance from him. Fabinho, I recently said he should learn Chinese. Huh?
You rolled back the ears today, though.
Yeah, no, well, I think
he's been good today. I think
I think it's to me, like, over the course, since Fabinho has signed us 5 years now, he's been the only DM now, and I really, like, I think I took a toll on his legs, honestly speaking. And, like, I think, again, like, when we look into this, we're doing this whole midfield overhaul, he shouldn't be going, he should be staying as an option, and not necessarily the guaranteed starter, but I think, again, he showed today, against somebody who is often contrasted against Casemiro too. He played really well, he had some really smart passes, some really smart tackles, always in a good area. So yeah, I mean, in terms of momentum, you really hope you could take this and go with it. And I also hope that it could throw United off just enough for us to try and pip their spot right now. It's a 7-point gap. So I'm a bit optimistic.
The man was just hoping for 4th. Now he watch it.
Yeah, well, as high as you could go. And I mean, as I told a couple of United fans too, outside all Europe, I would have been sharing. But I think it's just a blip now. It's right there when Virgil van Dijk beat us 5-0 this season, we reached the Champions League final. And you just see what the team is lacking, and the team is lacking a good goalkeeper. Is lacking a good right back. Maybe some improvements in the midfield. I kind of unsure where Anthony, like, how his progression in the team is. He did not impress me at all today. He was terrible.
Because he's not good, bro. He's just not good.
Let's talk about that.
Anthony, dog. Anthony, like, adds good structure to the team because of the positions that he takes up. So, like, he adds good space and whatnot, dog. But in terms of individual ability, he's trash. He ain't good. I will quicker call back Julian Shaqiri, dog, and start that man over to the game season, dog.
Dog, I think, like, again, like, I see him doing tricks at, like, 4-0, dog. I'm like, what are you doing, dog? Like, try something, keep it, you know? And then, I think this is a good interrogation of Manchester United in a sense, no? Because I think today, after today, long term, you have to look at Bruno Fernandes and ask yourself, is he captaincy material?
Well, actually, though, that is actually where I wanted us to go next. Because he was given the armband today. And there was a point in the game where Manchester United captain Bruno Fernandes was seen begging Ten Hag to come off. he was begging him to be sub, bro.
He was embarrassing today. I think he was embarrassing. I think his performance was pathetic. And like, I don't really come out and criticize.
What's the one where he was running behind Konate?
And Konate just took out his hand just like that.
At first, he tried to nip Konate's ankles. Yep, Konate just pushed back his hand. And he hit him on the chest. Bruno grabbed his nose and fell down, bro.
I don't know how he wasn't booked, actually. I think he should have gotten booked. He chopped down Bajacic later on as well. Bajacic absolutely did him. And he chopped down Bajacic. And he didn't even run back for the counter, asking to be sub, diving, just complaining. I don't think he's a good player. Like, but I think when it comes to... Like, your captain needs to be somebody to pick you up and say, look, like, example, Benzema at Anfield a couple weeks ago, 2-0 down. Fellas, we have this still. And obviously, we kind of undid ourselves, I think. But that is what you need. You need that kind of mentality. And I was talking to one of my partners, so they shout out Siggy. But see the same thing, like, with our manager. A manager can't go too high or too low. I think our captain is the same thing. You need to have this kind of air, fellas. We need to keep it grounded a little bit now. And I don't think Bruno has the personality for that. I think like that man's head has dropped so fast and his fuse is so short. I don't think he's captaincy material. Like, he definitely be in the squad.
He has a massively short fuse, though.
It's crazy. So you got a massively short, dog. Lisandro Martinez, dog. It's funny.
Again, by another decent forward, dog. Like, who could have seen this coming, guys? No. Let's not go on the evidence of what we've seen. When he's played Welbeck, when he's played Ivan Toney, when he's played Gabriel Jesus, when he's played Haaland, when he's played Nketiah. No, let's not go based on the evidence we've seen this season so far. But because he got lucky and did not play Darwin earlier this season, he didn't play Mitrovic because he was injured. He played Ivan Toney because he was injured. Not Ivan Toney, what's his name? Antonio, because he was injured. Let's just assume that somebody who's 4'12" could play in the Premier League, though.
Bro, you just be hating a little bit, huh?
I think I do maintain that
he's a decent player now, and I just think
I think he is.
A lot of the criticism has come about his size now, and like, look, I think at a certain point he has to admit it is going to be a disadvantage. And today we're raising a disadvantage. Today his undoing was actually his aggression, I think, which is the big bridge.
That is actually where my criticism of him does actually come in. Like, all the abs aside, I think that he's overly aggressive. Now, some of that I think is actually based on the fact that he is shorter and he feels the need to get close, to get tight very early because he can't physically compete with some of these players, right?
Like, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Right?
And the other part of it is that I think that he gets undone really fast because of this aggressiveness and he gets caught out a lot of times, right? Mm. And look, United fans headed into this, we're talking about we have the best centre-backs in the league, we have the best keeper in the league, we have the best left-back in the league. Listen, this is why, like, you need to be doing things within context, right? Because you have literally the second deepest line in the league to Nottingham Forest, or Nottingham is the only team deeper than you are. There's no reason for your centre-backs to actually have to display the full skill set that people like Van Dijk have to, the people like Gabriel Magalhaes have to, people like Saliba have to, people like John Stones have to. That is why these guys are held at a higher standard than what your centre-backs have been, because you are being protected by the system. And it's not about philosophy.
But another thing is, too, boy, I think this is something people don't know. Good. I wouldn't like to. I've been watching a lot of football as much as I usually would this season, personal reasons, not only just because my side is playing garbage. But I saw some stats as well. I didn't know this, but outside of Nottingham Forest, United actually play in the deepest line in the league. And I think that actually helps how people perceive a centre-backs now. As for me, I always maintain that I think Virgil van Dijk is the best centre-back ever in a high line. And I think that's just because he came and the line we play is insanely high, and I the highest out of any team like ever. And I think, like, you know, he's excellent at marshalling that. But again, like, that's something to factor into. I think Lissandro has a lot of good qualities. He's good with the ball. But again, like, today, honestly, he got cooked by Salah that time.
He had a real bad moment.
It wasn't as bad. It wasn't as bad as Varane.
Varane gets sent to the shops to buy a 2-pack of cigarettes and come back.
Everybody knows this, and controversially, I'm not a big Varane fan. I think that he should be better than he is right now, given his early stats. And also, like, I know I have a brethren out there who's always, we always come to, verbal blows about it. But I see as well, like, the fact that he did retire from France at 28 is kind of damning. And it does, you know, I mean, at the same time, he's excelling his career. He's obviously a top footballer, but again, like, flaws exposed to the, I think as well, like, I think these, that pairing could possibly be improved upon. But
yeah, I think so. Because like, look, the Q said this in the group today. It's kind of a joke. I got a leverage of coming just now or something, right? But like, he said that Varane can't turn and run back to defend. And it's true. And I think that's a big reason as to why this pairing, coupled with the fact that De Gea can't play off his line properly consistently, coupled with the fact that you don't want Casemiro having to do a lot of running with the ball, that this is why they play deep. They have centre-backs who can't turn to defend properly. They have a keeper who can't play off his line properly. And they have a defensive midfielder who's not comfortable with the ball. Dog, all the praise Casemiro's got, and a lot of it is justified, right? Because he's been good and he's improved United. But two things. One, you must improve on something that does not exist if you were brought in. They have not seen a DM since Nemanja Matic, who literally arrived 1 year before his decline as a player, right? And at the same time, though, he is averaging between 50 and 60% passing accuracy over the last, like, 5, 6, 7 games. Like, your defensive midfielder can't be doing that, because if he's turning over the ball, just, like, conceptualize it in your minds, guys. If he's turning over that ball, think about the positions that you're putting your defense under. You know? Virgil, as a person who has no love for any of these teams in this game, though, where do you think this, like, takes United from here, then? This was some sort of a reality check. And yes, we are probably overdoing it in some aspects, but I do think that this puts a lot of things on a more perspective, right? Like, I do think that there's a conversation to be had about their defense. I think there's a conversation to be had about their midfield composition and about their choice of person to have the armband. But going forward now, do you think that this damages them? Do you see them just bouncing back? What are you getting from this?
Well, yeah, like, every time when I see a lot of media praise for United and like the players, I was like, I don't understand how, for a team and for some individuals, they just get so much praise for players just being in a purple patch, basically. It's like, in these moments, the whole mentality monster thing that United like to be on, I feel like this is really going to come into question. Because 1 minute, you can't have Bruno and Maguire lifting up a trophy at Wembley and they're saying United back, and then they go coming in as clear favourites against their biggest rivals in history and collect 7. And the thing about it, most pundits like to argue and say that how it's not just about the score line, it's about how the manner in which it happened. And we look at the manner, we look at that manner. This is not going to just affect United. It's going to affect United psychologically going forward, because you're seeing teams like Liverpool right now climbing the table. They're right now in a position where they, a couple games back, while we talk about, we're going a good while back, they saw themselves as title challengers. That happened twice. That failed so quick. So they had themselves in that position. That failed. Right now, this is not too in a very uncomfortable place. And then this happened. They might look at this and be like, okay, if they end up slipping from this, this is going to only be their fault, honestly. Because we're seeing teams around them, as Liverpool climbing the table right now. And tell about Spurs are a very weird team. Spurs are a side that for some reason, there's like a very strange team. And right now,
we could talk about that more. Yeah?
Biggest hater, dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
As biggest hater and Son's greatest hater, dog. Dog, even I am like, bro, you could like get back up now in it. It's fine. I
think
my point.
Yeah.
You can go back to being a footballer.
No, the thing is, and you know, dog, I hate Manchester United, but I want to play devil's advocate a little bit, because I do think, you know, like, this is not indicative of like a major turning point in the season. I just think at the end of the day, you come to Anfield and like, again, people talk about like the Anfield, like how Anfield is. And the thing is with me is, kill me, is every coach is be like, eh, dog, nah, that's a serious thing. Like, Anfield really have a vibe about it. And then I come out and be like, the ball still have air. Like, you learn, you go learn. And then, I mean, like, it was actually really nice to get some demons out, because I always felt like Casemiro had a buck on us, way. And yeah, hold that.
But
my Punjabi king.
Yeah, but I think, I think when they look back at the 5-0 loss, we know for a fact Liverpool at that point, Liverpool was seen as obviously the favourites going into the game. But we know Liverpool is a monster team. But they know
last season.
Yeah, but we know for a fact that for this season, this is Liverpool has been having a terrible season. This is their worst season in a long while.
And talking then Rodgers days,
but... yeah, we talk, and I'm just talking about United going into, and not just United fans, but the media and all seeing them as favorites. I talk about the hearing talk of the form of Rashford from since the World Cup, because they've been talking about that throughout the game before the first goal even went in. They talk about how much Ten Hag, you know, was brave to drop Ronaldo on from all that. They end up going way back when, and talking about how Ten Hag turned the ship around and they have stability beside now. And then after, fans like to talk about not only just Varane, but Lissandro, you know, two World Cup winners they have at the back, you know. They want to hype up the defense. And for all...
put up two World Cup on the line and might have stopped the ball from going in.
From the moment...
Varane Wikipedia page, when they meet Rafael, bro, I'll take a photo like nothing of all for them, but I really slammed that one of them.
No, but from the moment...
I guess like Bruno, yes?
Yeah, from the moment...
Actually, I'll be real. Mm-hmm. If I meet Bruno, I will not take a picture with you.
I take a picture with any footballer. I'm a groupie here. I'm a hypocrite tonight, okay? I find when I criticize, and I be fair. That's the thing.
The thing is, though, is... Bruno is like the one that I built with
the name. Your brand. KDB, man. KDB. I remember people telling me you like with that KDB, man.
I was out of context, dog. I really don't care what nobody say, dog.
Yeah, I know. I know you had to be inflammatory to drive from some viewers, you know, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that is cool. But I met every single word I say about that Bruno, man, though. He's terrible.
I want to say something, though.
We've talked so much about Bruno. Mm-hmm. We've talked so much about Bruno. So from this conversation, I was talking about Bruno mentality for this game and whatnot. And from the moment I remember talking to my brother and saying, like, when I see Maguire and Bruno lifting up that, it's like, that's basically two people right now who just... Like, you really have no time for them, honestly. And from this game,
the Carabao was real watched this year, but from the time, you know, like, yeah, I wouldn't like
no,
them getting all kind of home ties and something.
If it was serious, probably you would investigate the fact that every single cup that they get for this year, both the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup, was at home. Yeah. And they were all like good draws. Some of us get drawn against Brighton in the first round of the Carabao Cup, and then going in the FA Cup has to go to Man City.
Imagine us knocking out all them big teams from the Carabao Cup. Now we knock out so much big team just for United to walk
the finals.
And we went for United walk the finals and go up against Carriers. It can't get easier than that, you know.
And the thing is as well, I know we had a talk about, we talk about Newcastle later, we go elaborate on that, but I want to touch back on United. Like, one thing with them too is they play in, they really build for transitional football now in terms of counter-attacks.
Yeah.
And that's why Rashford thriving a lot on Bruno, because, you know, Bruno like to hit a ball in a general area and let a man chase it now. Yeah.
Look, dog.
A pass.
I want to say this.
And a butcher.
Man, I want to say this, dog, and after this we go look to probably, like, not necessarily move on from this conversation, but go to a different part. Ten Hag football, where it is right now, I'm not saying this is the final iteration, but where Ten Hag football is right now is a higher technical level version of what Ole was doing. If people will it to keep it 100% real, that is what it is. It is counter-attacking football. It is soaking deep. It is playing in transition. He's doing it with a little bit more technical players.
And we're seeing better patterns of play, for sure. You got to give respect to him.
Yes, we are seeing better patterns of play. But it's still very much similar to Ole ball. And that is why they are playing these big teams. And, dog, they collect 7 today. When they play us, dog, they was lucky that it wasn't worse.
Actually, I do think that. I think that, like, their goals as well, boy. Like, that Rashford goal was RL1 goal. That's
Primo, right?
And then the Sandro goal was.
I was telling Patrick the other day, though, that, like, because I was telling this yesterday, because we saw what the fact that we've been conceding a lot sometimes, right? That, dog, are we conceding? Yes. But, dog, honestly, we kind of unlucky. And he says that a lot of teams are just being ultra clinical with their XG against us. So United scored 2 and they finished, I give it 0.49 XG. I guess
I can't say anything. I think our XG was like 3 today.
No, but that kind of normal in the sense that, like, when you start going to like sevens and six or sevens of our scoreline, right? You don't expect
that. Yeah, it'll be like 4 XG. For the most. Yeah. But the crazy thing about today is out of our shots on target, we scored 7 out of 8.
And you can say that's the DA effect, I guess, if you want. But
going forward, though, so with Liverpool, Yuan, do you have any hope for the Bernabeu?
Bring on Madrid, dog. We're talking about.
But, bring on Madrid. Yeah,
bring on Madrid.
I think in the first leg, like obviously we held that, but again, like I think we undid ourselves. Good carnival tease. I watched it in the pub. I lost my voice after the first 2 goals. Needed it back by the end of the game to cry for help.
We appreciate
your
commitment to taking in the game very seriously.
Yeah, well, what the hell? I was taking a drink too soon. It was nice. But yeah, I think a lot of it hinges on Konate staying fit. I think, like, that game, again, like, we really didn't do ourselves any favors. Again, I think the XG suggested that too. That we should have probably been close to that tie now. And, Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to sell myself on it, but what I think is, what this game shows to the future, again, like, that anybody who wrote off Jurgen Klopp and was like, Klopp out, ridiculous, dog. Like, people was asking, I remember, dog, all they was asking me in our group chat, like, so what, no, Klopp out? Like, dog, no little thing like that, dog.
No, I won't be Klopp out either.
Yeah, watch what this guy has done.
Last thing, though, you when you watch the 11 today, right, like, with the exception of just, like, Bajetic, because I really like the man, though. You know I really like the man, too, right? What do you say, like, this is your best 11 going forward?
Well, statistically,
Luis Diaz is back.
Statistically, it looks like it is, because I think, like, somebody said with Fabinho, Henderson, and Elliot playing, we, like, win, like, every game they start together. And,
right.
Yeah, which is crazy, because I feel like that would midfield shouldn't work, to be honest. But, yeah, I feel
they
like...
Probably
I think that Thiago in is definitely something. But if Fabinho could keep this level up for the rest of the season, that'd be really nice. He's a big part of it. And yeah. Elliot, the sky's the limit. Once, I think, again, he's a second and third phase player, and he has to iron out. He's a winger becoming a midfielder, no? And he has to iron out some of the more careless passes. But today I saw him, like, a lot of the time, I think Trent just helped him too. Trent kind of telling him, why do look backwards instead of looking forwards, or look at a simple pass instead, no? And yeah, I mean, yeah, I think
Fred was really good today, by the way.
Yeah, China's
like,
been
lucky not to get assists, though.
He's actually really
lucky recently not to begin like assists.
Yeah, he got robbed one against Everton. They took it off him as well, actually.
He was robbed a goal by Henderson against Crystal Palace.
Let's not talk about that, though. Nah, Trent was real good today. I think since he woke up, he's been pretty good. Even in spite of results.
They've fallen off a little bit this season, right? And I think that just continued to show as they lost to City at the weekend. Now, I do think that it was a bit unfortunate. Like, Foden goal had a small deflection. And then their second goal came at a time when Newcastle started to get momentum, right? But, be completely real, the City controlled that whole game. They probably just had like a 10-minute spell where they had someone saying, Mark, someone, Willock. And it just feels like Newcastle themselves are like devoid of any sort of like momentum going forward. It felt like there was a period where like Almiron was overperforming going forward. Like he really take them Grealish wins to heart. Tick. And the irony is Grealish actually probably is the one probably having a better season. Not the better numbers, but he's playing probably a lot better. Mm-hmm. If Grealish was him though, he would have scored on Saturday. Keep it real. If he was him,
yeah, I don't think he's him, but he really can't be him.
He's not him. He's not him. Haaland is not him either.
Haaland is not him.
Darwin is him, bro.
He didn't score Saturday, bro. Yeah, the real one scored.
I didn't realize how much him Darwin is. But anyway,
no, I digress. Neutral, I could admit, dog, that something about Darwin, dog, is real.
It moves you. It moves you.
And I used to be real happy when he won scored.
Yeah, that's true.
The man hit the
dog, he really Suarez.
He
did,
yeah, he was really Suarez. No, the man was just paying tribute. He had a list of things he had to go off. Like, great. Score.
<That's true>.
Celebrate.
Could you actually tell us like how much goals that puts him on for the season?
I think it's like
I can't be something out then. Yes, no, not just in the league, yeah? Like in all comps.
Uh-huh. Is Agra Montana? I'm not sure exactly.
So while you check that, so what was your thoughts on like Newcastle when you played them on the weekend before like Arsenal about City and stuff?
I don't know. Well, honestly, around this time of the season, like it going into this game is not something that that was honestly surprising, honestly. Because people forget how much, like how long the season is. People forget like how things happen early in the season is different how it's going to come down to the latter stage of the season. Because we look, because not just for Newcastle, but for like other teams, around this time at the business end of the season, so it have times where players will not perform the same way as you know, as how they did early in the season. Because whether it be fatigue, whether it be, you know, whatever, you know, it's a whole list of reasons that clap on. So for Newcastle was honestly right now, a wave of hype because they honestly was overperforming from the moment that the season started. Yep. and they found themselves in third. Everyone was talking about dream of Champions League. This Newcastle side is back. I mean, I thought some other teams in the top four that were performing, but you know, we don't really get to them. But right now with Newcastle, around this time of the season, they're going to be mixed up in games where it have teams that bigger teams are going to be fighting for much more, and also have other teams that in positions of that also perform and that going to be fighting for bigger moments as well for their team. So Newcastle, they're in a position that kinda new to them. I can't really look at it in a way of saying that, you know, or it's going to affect the season in a big way if they lose the top four and they slip out the top four. Because realistically, they're not really supposed to be there, honestly. So from this game, you could have seen it. The players didn't have that motivation anymore to play. They know for a fact because for what they're playing for and what City playing for is two different things. And at the end of the day, you could see the will that City had and what they're fighting for was way bigger than what Newcastle fighting for. If Newcastle really come out the top four, then
top four. Mm-hmm. But I was gonna ask something. You know, the thing is with Newcastle lovers, right? Like if they come and finish sixth, let me say, right, and they get Europa League football, it is a successful season for them. The thing is that given how the season was going, there were some pundits that were carelessly putting them in the title conversation. I have an issue with those things, eh? Because like when you do that, it comes like if you're setting them up for failure and it says that you're going to just give them a stick for 10 games only like to beat them with, oh, they was here, they didn't reach here, that kind of thing. Now, whereas, look, a season is based on the entirety of the season, right? And if we use just like 10-game spans of what teams are doing, then we're going to be overly critical about them sometimes, right? Because like come the end of the season, right? Let's say United, Cubs are finished third, right? Let me just say that they do, right? It is a phenomenally good season for them because none of us had them in our top four, right? And given how the season started, 2-0 or 2-1, whatever it was, to Brighton, and lost 4-0 to Brentford, we did not think that they would have been here at that point in time, right? And then afterwards, we all know the money they spent and whatever, right? However, they are here. But because there was a period where they were closer to City, people wanted to say, hey, you know, there was any title conversation or whatever. Mm-hmm. When the reality is across the whole season, there really wasn't. And that's not being disrespectful. That's just being real as the way it is. In fact, there were people who Arsenal were first in the league and did not even want to say that they were title favorites until like probably like last month or something. You know? That's just the nature of how it goes, right? But Virgil, with City now, right? It has been a weird few weeks for you all. Y'all have no bottle. I just wanted to let you know that. Y'all have no stomach. Y'all aren't him. because like y'all actually went on top of the table despite playing us without our number 9, without our starting defensive midfielder.
Okay, okay.
But they get all that advantage.
Okay.
Still win. Mm-hmm. Only win. Rightfully so after, you know, my right back decided he wanted to pass to De Bruyne. Could never be me. And then now 3 days later, the first time since October, Ole was asked to just stay on top for a continuous game day, and you failed. You know why? You have no stomach. You have no dog in him.
Hell,
there is no money. But in all seriousness, though, This actually just shows like how wild the Premier League is this season, you know? Because like y'all played well against Forest, and then out of nowhere, I'm on like Chris Wood.
Chris Wood out everybody, yes.
But I think in our Forest game, boy, there's just so many chances get thrown away.
Dog, Haaland like, missed two setters.
Dog,
he is not him.
Dog, if you want to go back to that game, like you could just like real quick for that game. That's all I'm saying, that it really comes down to the mentality of the players, because you could have tell that even up until like 5 minutes before that Chris Wood goal, the players at City, they were just looking like, okay, this is ours to win. They just waiting for his second goal. Those missed chances, they wasn't taking that serious, you know. They were just walking off like, all right, we're obviously going to get more, because you know we got
food and stinker too, way.
And from that boy, I'm glad the turnover was so quick. I'm glad the man back to the formation.
The thing is, right, I do think Foden is very talented, right? But it's crazy, like, the difference. Like, I mean, really, like, I was not Saka. I thought Trent had deserved to win Young Player of the Year last year. I think that was just shipping as a Foden win, right? But Foden had a good campaign, right? All things considered, he had a good campaign. It's crazy how far that brother Stocks had fallen, though. Now, and I think that is not a man's fault, you know, as good as Saka, right? That's not his fault. Okay, right?
We're back here praising men purple patch, boy. I just let you know. You see
purple what?
You see
Saka is clear though.
Nah, boy. See Rashford. What? Rashford, Saka, no, Almiron. Them in the same boat, boy. Them in the same boat, boy.
Big man, I will flip this table. Saka has been consistently performing for like 3 years now.
I am of the opinion that Saka is better than Foden. That is my thing. I've said that since 2020, though. I think Saka's
a better. Some would say that if Foden was had played some more minutes in that World Cup, England would bring it home.
Maybe if he was, well, what more minutes? No, as an England fan, I was waiting for Rashford off that bench. I was like, no, this man, go get this man with his hair cut off the field, please, because he's stinking it up.
Actually, I was going on to say, for Newcastle, right, and this is a serious point, last year, we had top four in our hands, and we obviously choked it, we lost it, right, we bottled it, and I think a big part of that was that, like, in January, we did not recruit anybody, mm-hmm. whether it was competition or backup for Lacazette, or it was bringing in depth competition, whatever you want to call it, for Partey, because we knew his injury record, right? And we paid for that. We did, right? In the fact that we choked up four, right? I think Newcastle are in the exact same position right now, just four different players. I think that they will regret not breaking bank for James Maddison. Like, I've never seen a clear fit of a player that is him. He is him. He knows what it is to drag a side across the line consistently of game on game on game. And you put him in a team that does not have Wood Phase and whatever other crackers they have in the back line. A good back line where his goals and assists would matter.
Ariel Kermidog, Wood Phase, actually playing half an hour good season quietly by himself. It's just that man will never live down scoring two goals at Anfield. Anyway,
and now with that, acts like, where does he rank on all the top scorer list for the season, though?
Wow, funny. Put the Champions League on the table, John.
Hey, just wait and see, bro. This Arteta arc has just begun.
Watch now. Virgil, when we're talking, I'll tell you. Sitting side still out of command field.
That's true, you know. That's true. It just takes one draw for Arsenal, and I lost the City for it to be eaten up.
Loving me. But here, Virgil, even if we do that, all you don't have the stomach to take advantage. You're not them anymore. This is not the City of Fernandinho and company and David Silva and Aguero, where their men was built in dog. These men don't have it anymore, bro.
Think about when they post the City fixtures, real fans were saying that the most City thing is watching the fixtures for March. I'm being more worried for Palace than Liverpool.
I be real doing all the history, I would have been more worried.
I waited for a tool at the Emirates. So the idea yet you had.
Virgil, you want, do you think it is though? I don't expect to win at both Anfield and was he empty hat? But the thing is, like, our record away has been great this year. We have the best away record by like a mile in the league. We have the most clean sheets away from home. And but when you have the best away, they set the back in the league. Well, they just make it all the while easier. But Virgil, back to y'all.
Yeah.
How you feeling? It has been rough, though. Like normally with y'all, right? Like how this part of the season goes is like the other team, which usually be Liverpool, are they y'all catch up to them by now? Or I keep a pace with them or pass them? Are they like in the UCL, you know, like wash out the side like 5-0 in the first leg and just getting ready to rest in the second leg? You clearly don't have that going on right now. What going on?
Think about this team right now. And I mean, they play, you know, Pep like do things the most complicated way possible. The couple games before, Pep was getting a little stick from, like, not only fans, but a lot of people was looking at it and saying that, you know, he had some issues, you know, when it comes to, like, the subs he was making. I can't say the subs, the not even making any subs, the type of players that he was choosing to play. But you kind of right now, the ship kind of steady, honestly. The ship is steady now. At this point, he is playing, you know, he has making this defense. He has his own little personal touch on it. We see what he's trying to do. It really, at this point, really comes down to the players. It really comes down to those players, not only for our strikers to perform, but for our players to actually find the striker. You know, to remember that we actually have a number nine on top.
A whole nine.
A man that on course out to break the Premier League all-time goal scoring record.
I finished second.
Because the man, Dortmund jeans.
Real.
But
I do anything for that man to not break the record. I'll just rattle off, but if you get like 2-1.
If you get 2-1, I'll be... Yeah, boy.
Let the kings not hang.
All right, Victor. Out of 100, right? How confident are you on winning the league right now?
Out of 100?
What percentage? Yeah, well, like, what percentage?
Yeah, we gonna make a little... Yeah, well, 110, yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know what is beautiful about that? Because I was going to say, my confidence on winning the league is 100% too.
So you want to let me be wrong then?
People forgetting that around this point, the experience and lack
of
experience is kicking.
You don't have men anymore. You have men who had it easy all their life. They grew up in Palm East and all these other pretty nice places, dog. And now they had to live on the street, dog. They don't know what to do now. They don't know what to do now. They look around for help.
My timeline is so quiet right now, dog. All these United fans just...
Dog, it's like if... where's College Real Rich Place up, dog, boy? Help, what are you at?
Westmoreland.
Yeah,
that's the most south thing I ever heard of. You forget the Westmoreland. As though he was literally there like last week. We passed by it. Nah, he wasn't there last week. Nah, I talking shit. Yeah,
dog, it's like you take somebody from Westmoreland and they drop them on the taxi stand. Dog, they don't know what to do. That is the city, man. They don't know what to do.
Dog, I tell you, these young boys in this Arsenal side, man, they're not accustomed to this, you know.
I fully believe, and I guess we could go into the Arsenal game now, that these men, if they did not lose top 4 the way that they did last year, we would not be on our way right now to this title, though. I think that, one, they lack the scars of former teams of bottling things. Mm. And this one time that they bottled something, they had the chance of either going down the path that the former ones did before, and becoming a slightly better performing version of Spurs, or using that now to fuel them having the hunger to not feel that again anymore. And that is what they're doing right now. We have won 15 points from losing positions this year, more than any other team. You cannot tell me about Arsenal side that, you know, that with all the tropes that they had attached before, again, a lot of them were attached correctly, that had the stomach to come back from losing so many times a season, dog. And it's not like all these was against small sides. It depends on how you see United. But, like, is in competitive games, these are happening. And it is last minute winners. It's going straight down to the dead. We have the best away record, as I said. These are things that you did not associate with, like, Arsene Wenger's Arsenal and stuff like that, because that era of Arsenal was known to be soft-bellied and be easy to turn over. Dog, these men just aren't that anymore. And the thing is, people talk about, like, all the players that have been missing for the clubs, aren't they? But because we've been doing so good, people haven't talked about ours. Dog, our top scorer last season has not started a single game for us this year is Smith Rowe. Our marquee signing last summer has missed 3 months, and we are still top 5 points clear. These men now coming back for our stickiest part of the season. This is why I take advantages with us, dog. You know? Like, we have these big things coming back, and we having these moments where all these wins coming from behind, these last-minute winners, etc., etc., all these things do is continuously fortify belief amongst these players that, you know what, guys? Not only can we do it, we are going to do it. We are doing it. We are doing it. And as Jamie Carragher pointed out to the clueless Gary Neville on the overlap this week, that you're going to continuously question a team ability to do it until they're actually doing it. But sometimes you just sit up and realize that a team is doing it. Because every year, you're going to vote Man City as a favorite to win the league, right? Because they are Man City. But at some point, somebody going to come and win the league that you don't see it coming from, right? Because they are not Man City. Well, you need to open your eyes, smell the coffee, because it's happening in front of you. And I think it is happening now. And I don't think it's just because it's my side. I think it is a mix of the mental hurdles that these men are continuously showing that they are willing to overcome. That we lost to Oliver Virgil, and be it dead serious, in former years, we would have crumbled. We would have gone on this losing streak or winless streak, whatever it is. You know what we do since then, Virgil? We went 4 on the bounce, dog. We reclaim a 5-point league after y'all went on top of us that day. We was losing to United, come back and win. We was losing 2-0 this weekend in the 60th minute, dog. I don't think I ever see my side come back from 2-0 down in the 60th minute ever in my supporting history, dog. These men setting their own trends, their own tropes, their own narratives by their belief, by the mentality that's transmitted from the manager go down, and from their own desire of wanting to get it done. Like, I obviously, it's very early in his career, right? Like, he didn't score assists this weekend. But I think Bukayo Saka is like the emblem of everything that is Arsenal right now in terms of performance despite the circumstances, of persistently pushing your level to get it done no matter what. And I think that where he is right now, and if he keeps going on trajectory he is, by the time he's done with his career, he's going to sit at the table with Thierry Henry as one of the greatest players in Arsenal's history, dog. And when you think about the journey that player has taken to be where he is now, where I think he is the best right wing in the world for this season, right? He came from heel end. He came into the most dysfunctional era of Arsenal's history. That he had to start off as a left back to be in the squad. Was amongst one of the most assisters in Europe at that time too. Then, can move all over the place to suit fitting Pepe here and fit over there, whatever, whatever. And when they finally gave the man the space of his own, dog, he just took off, bro. Took off. As I post on Twitter last week, dog, after the Everton game, there's only eight players within league football that have more goals than assists than our man. He is sitting with elite dog, and I think he will continue to do that. And he's one of the biggest reasons why I think we win this title. That being said, any of you all, you have a mind to check like how much goals Darwin actually have this season?
Yeah, I have it in the top here, you know. It's, he have 14 goals and 4 assists.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
What was all your thoughts after the Bournemouth game? You and you can go first.
Yeah, but I celebrated Nelson goal like it's my side score. Shambolic refereeing, though. Like, that was terrible refereeing for the whole game. I think all that should have got some pens.
Yes.
But, you know, it's good to pull out a win. It's bad that your
2-0 down at any point to Bournemouth, but
real.
These things happen.
Is the second fastest goal they concede?
Yeah.
In probably history, yeah. It is the second fastest. The first is 7 seconds. This one was 9.
9, yeah.
Damn. Wait, that is Shane Long against Watford.
But yes. I'd ask, it feel nice to score it against Bournemouth, isn't
it? Dog, it, what I tell you, dog, at the 96th minute, I knew that it was going to add back time because the whole first minute was with a player down injured, right? So I was really hoping that they did the right thing and add back the time, right? And in my head, I tell myself, like, I was sitting right here and I was telling myself, nah, dog, we going and win. I don't know how, but we going and win. I knew he was going and win, dog. I went down, so let go that shot, dog. I tell you, I had to go back and watch the goal after because I saw the take the goal at the time. I just got so excited. I started to scream, dog. When I started to scream, I scream. Dog, I think I wake up my father, all kind of thing, dog. I throw my chair, all kind of shit for this, dog. Because, again, you know, this is something that I was planning to say on the pod. And it's something based on something that Yuan told me this year was that, and he was saying this was something similar to this based on like Liverpool, right? And Liverpool's having a down year. Like he said that he knew that he went through some really good years with Liverpool and he really appreciated those years because he knows those things doesn't last forever. I am trying my uttermost best to appreciate the days I'm in right now as an Arsenal fan. Because the reality is though, it's not gonna last forever. Would I like it to? Of course I would. Which fan would, right? I would love another 5 years where, like, we finally achieve old big years and we win a couple league titles and some cups and go on some really tremendous journeys together, though. We on one right now. This could turn out to be, like, the year that Liverpool lost the UCL final, you know, where they ran all into the final day and they ended the season with nothing. But all that...
Yeah, we ended up with 2 trophies. Eh? Relax.
Know your bottom. The we first don't one... When all the loss and Salah get injured in the final,
we came fourth that season. We're talking about,
oh, serious? Well, that season I was referring to either way, right? That
the other time we lose, we win the Champions League.
Something
neither of you all could relate to, right?
But my point being is, like, we could end the season trophyless, and I still don't want us to, like, lose sight of what we are doing and appreciate the fact that, look, at the end of the day, only 4 teams in England walk away with trophies every year. That doesn't mean that you don't have good years. That doesn't mean that you don't have great times, you know. And this is exciting, though. I watch every single Arsenal game on Do Not Disturb on my phone. Dead serious. I don't want to hear nobody. I don't want no notifications, no nothing. I just want to soak it all in, dog. I will message all in the group, like, afterwards and stuff like that. But, like, I'm just trying my best to enjoy every moment right now. So, as I asked about that win against Bournemouth, bro, that hit different, though. I can't lie, it hit different, though. And it felt like a moment where I think it's not a place where we win the league from, but I think it's a moment where we could have lost the league.
Okay, you know, it's about Bournemouth, dog. Like, we play Bournemouth next week, and if we score 1 goal, that's 10 goals we score this season against Bournemouth.
Dog, it's so funny because, like, reverse fixture for us. We was 3-0 up at halftime, right? Away from home. Like, it was a walk in the park.
I remember that was when I was saying Saliba is better than Van Dijk, and I was just saying, like.
I mean, he has been this season, though.
Better at what? Not even better looking. Bro.
Right now, the only thing I can say, because think about it, when you talk about Arsenal have these moments where, as a rival fan, you kind of you feel happy for those moments. Because think about it, nobody going into the season, no City fan going into the season thinking that out of all the people we could fight for the title, it's going to be Arsenal. But from everything that went on throughout the season, the main thing from this game, it's a player like Reece Nelson. The man was injured and the man come back. This is his first game back from injury. Yeah. And the man to get out.
Actually, you know what's so funny, though?
You know what really killed me, though? You see Fabrizio tweets?
No, you say.
No. Look, Fabrizio, see this whole thing about Reece Nelson back from injury. This is his first Premier League game in 900 and something, and he had the exact date and everything. And you know, this, I like, dog, this man that scored 2 goals last week. No, going to, against nothing, I'm for it. And then he man deleted the tweet and reposted it all that. Like, anyway, isn't.
The thing with Nelson, though, is like the funny thing is the reason that he wasn't on the bench the last two games was just it didn't have space for him. He was on the bench this week because Nketiah was injured.
That's crazy.
And he was available to cover, dog. And it's crazy, though. Like, I've said this, like, all the time, that like, any team that has achieved anything in football, some, at some point, some random player just do something that is just contribute to the success that they all had. You know, like, in Liverpool's case, it was, like, how Origi scored the two in the semifinals of the Champions League. Or, like, in City's case, where Delph, out of nowhere, became the starter left-back for a whole campaign, bro, and was great at it. You know? Every team that has ever achieved anything in life does have some random moment of something weird just clicking, or something, not just weird, but like just something you just never see coming from, though, just click and contributes to the success that you've had, though, you know. Chelsea 1-1-0, guys. Like, who knew Chelsea knew how to score?
Bro,
last Chelsea played Premier League before this was a header. I guess what they scored today, another header.
I have thoughts.
Please,
but I don't know if you remember, I said before I was messaging out in our group chat we have there, and I say Chelsea will win this week, and it's because people knew this was a pivotal game for Graham Potter. No, dog, this is just to keep Potter in charge. Like, yeah. I mean, I've actually didn't concede because I would have liked them to concede, but yeah, I mean, dog, is Leeds. Leeds are way in the table right now. Pretty low. Judging from the reaction of the Chelsea fans, Leeds right above the relegation in 17. But judging from the reaction of Chelsea fans, it wasn't that impressive a performance. I didn't watch any of it, I'm not gonna lie. I would rather like watch Pedri than watch the Chelsea team playing sometimes. I was just making
Chelsea,
I had my phone up to see if Mudryk gets up done. Because he was supposed to become 007 this week. Unfortunately, cable died. Unfortunately, we had to wait a little bit for that. Y'all was hearing me though.
Yeah,
we are.
Okay, cool. Yeah, my headphones just But I mean, again, where y'all think Chelsea will end up?
Right where it is now.
Yeah, because honestly, from this, like,
Actually, real stuff if they're going to finish 7th, dog. It's not just that you had a bad year, but, like, you had a conflict conference.
Because, yeah, honestly, at that point, best to finish 8th now, because that 7 would not make sense.
Real.
That makes sense for next season.
He thinks there were some...
Yeah, but
that hung purely from bad reasons, dog. I want them in for the 7th, dog. On God, dog, it can't be too funny to see them in for the 7th.
Yeah, but still, Chelsea problems not over from this. You know? Yeah, they get a win, but you still have.
You feel they need more signings,
dog. The goal came from the defensive signing. It's like. There is a lot of men, on top who get paid to do nothing from the Chelsea side.
No, I don't know if did y'all see the clip? Y'all saw the clip with Havertz miss? So the man run in on goal, boy, and like where he had a perfect opportunity to just bullet the ball. The man try a little cutesy dink,
dog,
and like all the fans coasting. Dog.
Havertz trying everything to just miss every chance he get. You know?
Dog, you know what's the funny thing? Chelsea signed a billion men, and Kai Havertz is still starting, dog.
Like, you think it's starting as the 9, dog. Like, because Havertz was never really... Havertz was never a traditional 9. At the worst case, he's a false 9, dog. Oh, God. Like, I know Breuer pull up with a knee injury and thing, but, yeah.
No, I've been real, and I don't know if... I don't really care how controversial this is, but I think, at least in Premier League, you play João Félix as a 9, dog. Like,
yeah,
you don't play him as a 10 or nothing, though. You play the man as a 9.
And yeah.
He missed chances to
it.
Yes, I know. But the thing is, the man move by that link play will do well from what you would hope from a systematic point of view, right? And the thing is, I think Raheem Sterling had a brilliant game. Why? Because Raheem Sterling is a brilliant player. guess who wouldn't know that, right? But you need to also have other men of high IQ besides the two of them. And this man called Kai Havertz dog is a terrorist dog. Like,
no, I like Kai Havertz too, right, but just his development has stolen. No, like, I don't know. He should come by us.
They have all the pieces right there. I don't know how criminal even going to be just to try. We talking about playing who in a number 9 position. They have a number 9 on the bench. What they could no, it not hey, it not going to cost them. It not going to cost them nothing. It's not to say like Chelsea need to score more goals. Need to score a goal from attack.
A goal.
Play Aubameyang. Just give Aubameyang a little run out and let's see what you can do. Put Kai Havertz in a more creative role and let Aubameyang play.
I feel like all them men overall play just suffering. Like, I feel like when you watch it, like Mount has fallen off a lot and Havertz has fallen off a lot. But yeah, that's another one. When he comes to Liverpool, it's like Ox 2.0, you know. But
I don't think that's a good thing, eh?
Dog, now Ox 2.0 with all the injuries.
Wait. I know what I say. So you want to sign up on that every time he catch form, he get injured.
With all the injuries. That's the end goal.
Mount's a baller, you know. I feel like
Mount. Oh, I love Mount, though. I'm glad I love Mount.
I think he'll be real good. I'm not
confident. I see, and I feel like Mount will be real good in the Liverpool side.
I just say Mount better than Ford. He's
Nah. We ain't going so far and do all that.
Yeah, look, I ain't no sticks there, though.
Yeah, we ain't jumping into that.
Oh, no, I was joking. But you still said, I see that after, I say no. So out of context,
I do genuinely think, though, like, you see, I watch players and I just be like, wait, like, Klopp would cook. And I actually feel like Havertz is a man who would have cooked under Klopp as well. But again,
in all seriousness, for sure. I do think, like, Mount would do real good for us, like, in our left aid rule. Like, talk about you want like somebody who could work great. Yeah, that could. Now, I would also like to say, this weekend also showed up, that Xhaka is not as easily replaceable as men think he is now. But I do think that there is a level to go up there with somebody who could add what he does add and add more going forward.
But quick with that Xhaka, for that Xhaka. I just want to touch on quickly say for that Xhaka. Real people praising Casemiro for United signing a DM for doing the job. You had no DM. You sign a DM. You finally get a DM to do a DM's job. And he getting all this praise, yeah. But nobody talking about the player that Xhaka looking this season. That don't make sense. Xhaka started looking real good.
Xhaka is a top dog this season.
I respect Xhaka, you know.
I have come to like realize though that I like my favorite player of all time is like Ozil. But I kind of knew that already. But like Xhaka up there, you know. And I think a big part of this, like,
that's fair.
How his arc has been, you know, to come back around as a player and now, like, now that is the emotional captain of the team.
You realize, not captain.
Who actually, yeah. But, like, Odegaard actually has been really good these last few weeks. So, despite that terrible miss against Aston Villa, though, he actually was brilliant in the second half. It's just like, I really want to be. Like a full stand of this guy though, because like his talent level is OP. But good grief, that man could do something so annoying me. Anyways, last thing before we head into the break, guys. Tottenham lost 1-0. Adama Traore, out of all the men, is the one who scored. Anybody have anything they want to say about this? Or
I
we can
like,
just move
I feel
on?
Like everybody comes into play.
I wanna talk. I just think that Spurs is a real strange sideway. Yeah. Like, you can't say they didn't invest because they invested.
Real.
You can't say, like, you know, like, they'd have a good manager. Obviously, we know what's going on with Conte, though. Hopefully, he recovers soon. But I think my big conclusion from that game, though, was what is going on with humans, son? Because I watched a little bit of it now, and that man, that I feel like it, you know, it might really be it on Son's career. Nah, well, on his career. But I feel like that this drop-off he has had here, ridiculous. And I mean, when you have your alternative is Richarlison, dog, like...
Yeah, boy. Let's not get into him, boy. I tell you what, Spurs needed. They needed that win, you know. And they end up bringing on not only one waste of time player, But they bring on three waste of time players, honestly.
No, the next thing too is like, what have you signed that Juba for?
Exactly. Why bring on?
Wait now. Let me go and look at these men's squad because clearly I'm unfamiliar though. I can't remember. Yeah, I remember
why,
this. But like,
why bring on Emerson Royal and Leland Juba?
Why bring on Player of the Month nominee Emerson Royal? You're asking answers here, though.
I was going to say something. Oh, with respect to Hugh Mixon, I would just like to say, y'all could quote me on this, tread from it, run from it, destiny arrives all the same.
I take your 5 years, though. Oh, God, I will respect the man always because he's a freak. He was a freak, at least. But this season,
all due respect, though, the man real contribute when they win the... Oh, yeah. Never mind. We can leave it there.
The Olympics, the Asian Cup for Korea or whatever, they had to win that time that free him from military service. I can't remember what it was. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
That's
cool. But I want to say with Son, it's just like, quickly. The man finishing is, like, if his finishing is off, then he genuinely has nothing else to offer the game now, way. And that's why I think, like, I've always said, it was a big conversation earlier, really, I remember. I think it's yourself started, and it's like Nelly against Son. And like, Martinelli does have more to his game than Son. Like, Son finishing off falling off a cliff, he might have sustained for a tapping, but I mean, yeah, what else you can see? Anyway, yeah, that's my thoughts.
I just learned, you know, the streets of Manchester we're talking about more, where it is, Aston Road. Well, they will always remember Human Son.
And I will,
yeah. Yeah, we will always remember this one. That man's a nightmare.
Yeah, he scored a fair share against us.
Yeah. We're gonna take a break there, and we'll catch you guys back in part two with trivia. And today, our part two is going to be looking ahead at the Champions League games that we have this week. So, yeah, we'll see y'all in a bit. We are back, guys. So, I'm going to let you on talk for like 1 minute before we actually do trivia. Because the trivia today is on the fact that Mohamed Salah just became Liverpool's all-time top scorer. He is the king of Merseyside. He is him. He has been him since the moment he's reached. He's continued to be him. He has beaten the big payday allegations. And again, continues to be that
guy.
We
never know how to beat
that. What better way for him to break the record than to do it against the arch rivals in Manchester United in the most humiliating defeat in Premier League history? So, I am going to push that tagline as long as I possibly can. So, before we get into the trivia of players that have played alongside Mo Salah, would you want to tell us how you feel about him? Which is kind of obvious.
How much time do you have, bro?
You have 1 minute to talk about.
Oh, wait. 1 minute to talk about Mo Salah? That's just impossible.
Actually, no. I'm going to give you a minute and a half to talk about Salah today. And then I'm going to give you like a next minute and a half to talk about like how he's impacted your Liverpool life.
Dog, every year we just hear from people that Salah are going through or, you know, whatever. People just always be like, boy, but you know, Hazard was better. No, dog, shush. It's just time to admit it, dog. He's the best, one of the best Premier League players of all time for me. And I don't think this should be unpopular. He's the best Premier League winger of all time, though. The man is always up there cooking and breaking records. And today, I mean, people just say he can't dribble. What does he do? Like, dog, every season he's had like a...
him cook!
Every season he's had these moments where he just dribbled past me. Like, you know, people really feel like, what for? I know all you know it for that goal last season.
Yeah,
and then today,
Dog, this man, dog, have you seen some of the angles, the alternative angles of the Alessandro movement, dog? Like, it is disgusting. Like, dog, I was watching with my partner, and the man, we just saying, drop him, please, drop him. See, man, dog, they have the photo with him running away from the ball in the wrong direction, and Salah going this year, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And somebody edit, like, the quantum realm in the background, and Dr. Street. I like, dog, nah, dog. He's different. And my father said the best. My father's a Liverpool fan too. He say Salah wasn't chopping and he wasn't chopping and turning like he's normally chopping and turning. And he started chopping and turning. And then when he started chopping and turning, it's really when you see him like, whoa, this guy. That goal he scored today is first goal on his right foot. Dog, the man didn't watch the goal, you know. He just turned it over his weak foot, hit the crossbar in, dog. He was causing United bags of problems. Shaw couldn't cope with him. Bruno certainly could not and did not want to cope with him. Lissandro, probably, you know, like, nah, nothing. And he got a brace and took off his jersey. And the picture of Trent pulling, like, crowning him, that is iconic. Like, that's crazy.
That's
telling you. And it's like, yeah, I feel like that's one of the coolest pictures for the season, for sure. And yeah, I mean, dog, the man, for me, he is in the conversation to be Liverpool's greatest ever player. And I was like, that's the greatest praise I could give him. But like, I don't think anybody expected him to hit the heights that he has it. When he signed, I certainly was like, wait now, but we have our man writing already. That is Sadio Mane. I didn't really see Salah coming in and make any impact in it at all. I don't think any Liverpool fan didn't. But dog, nah, he's one of the best signings of Premier League history. One of the best Premier League players of all time. And one of our best players of all time. So that's what I had to say about Mo Salah.
Cool, totally agree. Okay, guys, so now we're going to go into some trivia of players that Mo Salah has played alongside. We obviously, you guys at home, we hope you guys can play along and hopefully get it out before these guys. So, like I say, players that played alongside Mo Salah across his career. So, start with number one. I am a two-time Premier League winner. I've played alongside Tammy Abraham, Julian Lescott, and Neto, as in the goalkeeper. And I had my career cut short by injury. Who am I? Now, remember you guys have two yes no questions and you have two guesses.
So he's retired then?
Okay.
Yes, he is retired.
Okay. I don't know that was a question, because I was just clarifying what you said at the end.
No, that's not.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay. So cut short by injury, Tammy Abraham. And a two-time Premier League winner.
Wait, you said Tammy, Neto, and who's the other one?
Julian Lescott.
Oh, and Lescott. Ooh, and
which
Lescott.
Neto is it? Which Neto?
The goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper.
Like, Neto. Okay. Well, that's not helping me out. Okay. Nah, it had to be so did he play with Salah in the Prem?
No.
Okay, so then alright.
Wait, did he did he play with Lescott at Villa?
Nah.
Yes, he did.
Okay. Yeah, that's only Tefa. That's the only team I'm running through just now.
Wait.
Actually, I'm not sure if he did, but it's possible he did.
Is it? Wait, no. When he played with? Nah, he would not play with him, boys. Never mind.
Right, and at that time, he's a throw off, boy.
Nah, Tammy, the thing is with Tammy has played with real men, though. Real men. I mean, like, he's been in the squad with men.
Yeah.
Right. And that would, it definitely would be a Chelsea man, though.
I gotta tell you, if he played with Lescott, that's the villa.
Okay.
He would have passed through Chelsea, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's at Roma now. Oh, he was at Roma.
Yeah, but man, I retired.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. He actually did. I did not know that he played with him at Aston Villa.
So that means he also played with him at City. That's how we could gauge there. So who played for both? Virgil, this is for you though. Who played for both? He would have won the league twice at City.
Okay, you said Tommy. Never mind.
Guys, don't forget, like, the additional clue to all this is he played with Salah. So, like,
yeah.
I give only like three players, plus he played with Salah.
Okay, so Salah. That's good. That's a tough one.
Oh, they got real kick all this out before they realize who it is. He's a very popular person now.
Okay. A popular person now, right?
Unpopular. Wait, he is popular on Micah Richards.
Yeah, so there's my...
Yeah, it's Micah Richards.
I was going to put that he is a famous pundit.
I forgot that Micah Richards played with Salah, dog. It's only afterwards I just say, like,
yes,
yeah.
At Fiorentina, though.
Yeah, I remember that, dog. Yeah.
Micah Richards played with Neto as well at Fiorentina. Yeah. That's got at both City and Villa. And he played with Tammy Abraham at Aston Villa.
Yeah.
So, yeah. 1-0 to Yuan. This is best of five, guys. Right. So, it have five of these. Next is... I have an iconic hairstyle. I moved clubs due to my wife's illness. And I've played alongside Wojciech Szczęsny, Ivan Perisic, and Eden Hazard. Who am I?
Szczęsny, Perisic, Hazard.
No. Perisic, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a feeling I know what this is. I just see something.
Guys,
Szczęsny, Perisic, and Hazard. Okay, sure. Is it Szczęsny?
Is it Jovinho?
Nah, it's not Jovinho.
That's an iconic hairstyle now, man. Yeah.
It is. I don't think he would have played with Ivan Perisic, but that's a good guess, though. Give one clues, that's a good guess. Because he didn't
play with Szczęsny. He played Szczęsny ways.
Anroma,
right, so it's Perisic, yeah. I had to make sure he plays with Salah, he plays Salah, Anroma.
He played with Szczęsny at Arsenal?
No.
Okay, so we jump, okay, so the Juventus boys.
Not only, just...
Yeah.
See. Come on, guys, at home. If this is the one that makes on TikTok, comment down below, guys, who you think it could be.
He has an iconic hairstyle, you see.
Yes. One of a kind.
Nah, never happened. Okay.
An additional clue for y'all, because I'm not really too sure if y'all will get this. But okay. Those at home who listen to this, it'll be cool if you do know. He was known as Hullet Gang on FIFA for real years.
I know who this is, dog. Flick. He's that, dog. Nah, this man is real under the radar, dog.
Wife
L. And you have a mad hit style.
Yeah, and you played Perisic.
Bruh. Dog, I know that hood gang thing, dog. I just don't know. I never played before, though. I just know. I've seen the meme before, now.
Dun, 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 dun. I have an iconic hairstyle. I've moved clubs due to my wife's illness. And
I have no idea.
Wojciech Szczęsny, Ivan Perisic and Eden Hazard. You have two more yes or no questions still there. You won, and you have one. Well, mm-hmm. Virgil have two guesses, and you
did won. He play together in England?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
I called three players who played England though. That was good.
Dun, 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 dun. Is it I don't know, Gabi.
Yeah, one more guess, eh?
Yeah, I know. Oh, wait. Where does my mother play? With is Perisic, Chesney, and who else?
And Eden Hazard.
Hazard. Did you play Eden Hazard at club level?
No, he didn't.
Is it Nainggolan?
It is, Raj. Well done. For those who don't know, Raja left Inter because
to go to Cagliari or Calgary, whatever you call it.
So yeah, well, we all know Raja's hairstyle. It is iconic, bro. Like, one of a kind. And he moved because his wife held this play with Chesney at Roma, play with Ivan Perisic at Inter Milan, and play with Eden Hazard at national level.
I didn't think I'd go into the Belgian squad in my head. I feel like if I go through Belgian squad, I don't know why. When I hear Hazard, I just keep thinking of like everything else but the Belgian squad.
I think at Chelsea, we're like right through.
Yeah.
The thing is,
because I really meant to Chelsea original, for
you. I have the advantage here, but I think rolling with it. Next player. I've had one of the most historic nights in Anfield's history. I've played in four of Europe's top five leagues. And I've played alongside Ismail Benacer, Idrissa Gana, and Victor Osimhen.
It's Divock Origi. Yeah. No, why are you doing that? No. That's unfair to finish. No, I can't let you finish. I said, you're wasting time, though.
Okay, well.
Scrap that one, bro. Scrap that
one. I don't have more. That is the only
thing. When you say the history, okay, now, I was like, this man going for the
tractive ball. You're just in the last one.
Okay, if Virgil getting these next two correct,
still do the other two.
If Virgil, we pick Winter Game 7 or not, me?
Yeah, there you go.
I've played in Russia, England, and Germany. I've scored in a World Cup final. And I've played with Arturo Vidal, Henrik Mkhitaryan, and Miroslav Mitrovic. Is Miroslav is his name? It is, huh?
I'm Mitrovic.
With the word, like, our Mitrovic? Like, yeah, Fulham Mitrovic. Like, Alexander? Yeah. Yeah.
Alexander.
Miroslav.
My bad. Yeah, how long do
Who's Trip? Who's play with?
Mkhitaryan, Vidal, and Mitrovic.
Mkhitaryan, Vidal, Mitrovic.
I've played in Russia, England, and Germany, and I've scored in a World Cup final.
Is it Schiller?
It is Andre Schiller. Well done, Virgil.
That's a good one. Whoa. You said in our World Cup final, you know?
Yeah, he scored the winner for Germany.
That was good say.
That was good say.
That's why. Nah. All them are still more better. All them are still. All them cheated under the table.
Oops, I assisted it though.
I think about it. when he say that, you know, Dan Redis, in my head, I think enough played in a World Cup final. In my head,
this is a disgrace. This is a fucking disgrace.
Last one. Well, everyone's gonna say we got next one.
Robert,
God, fired one.
Robert,
you don't win. You are last one.
Arsenal found its corruption again, boy. But I go ahead.
I played alongside Ian Robin, Memphis Depay, and Mauro Icardi. I am a two-time UCL winner, and I have an iconic celebration that emulates an animal. Who am I?
Robin Icardi, and who's the other one? Memphis? Robin Icardi and
Memphis Depay. Wait. Just now, eh? Scratch Memphis. Use Awar.
An Arwa?
Awar.
Yeah. You talking about...
Because I know...
What's this man's name, buddy?
The Pai went Barca last year. I could be wrong, but I think he didn't. Yeah, he did.
I makes an animal.
Yes.
Did he play with the Pai in...
It's not the Pai. Forget the Pai. Okay.
So Robin.
Awar and Icardi.
Okay. Where Icardi, boy?
Two-time UCL winner.
Did he play with Robin in like Robin latter stages of his career?
Yes, he did.
When UCL twice?
Yes, he did.
When UCL twice, bro.
Can't be Zlatan.
Oh. I had to throw that one on there, boy.
Just have to remind people. Can I have a question? Oh. Is it Zidan Shaqiri?
It is Zidan Shaqiri. Mm-hmm. Well done. Yama UCL with Bayern.
Yeah, because I was going to say, did he win one with Liverpool or with Salah? And then I realized, wait, Bayern when at UCL, he won 2013, he would have won with Tom. Then he went Stoke right after.
Yes, he did. Zidan Shaqiri is one of them careers where, like, people say, like, if it wasn't reverse, people would say it was iconic.
We mean refusal. I find the man finished real strong with us.
He had actually a real nice career. What do you think about it?
He's a cult hero at Liverpool, I would say.
I was going to do a start bench sell amongst some players in Salah's career. Well, you want to do that?
Yeah.
Cool.
I always like this one.
This one gonna be extremely hard, except for Buyan, because he just extraordinarily biased. Start Bensel, Eden Hazard, Sadio Mane, and Francesco Totti.
Woo!
Okay, boy. That last one was a cool boy.
We not here to make it easy.
That last one was a cool.
Goodbye, fat man. Nah, it's okay. Dog, that's real hard, you know. But I think if I remove, like, even unbiasedly, dog, I think that Totti had a go. And I thought he's one of my favorite players, dog. But I think, looking at pure skill, I think Hazard and, well, actually, no, you know what, dog? That real hard, dog. Well, you think Mane is the least skilled out of all three of them? Because for me, I have Mane.
Skilled? Probably.
For myself,
I think he's a lesser dribbler than the two.
For me,
keep it 100, though. The one who's the best big game player is the one with the blood in his head in his arm.
Sadio wins king.
Yeah, sure.
Come on, guys. Let's hear it. Start, Benson. Okay. Let's get the
I really like Totti. No, these are three players I actually do like. Even though Slander Hazard, I really like Eden Hazard. But, flicking hell, boy. I can't do my dog, man. Hey, duty, dog. So, I think I'm going to start Francesco Totti. Because I think he's a. I think he, like, dog, what he has done is emblematic of, like, the one club come thing on, now. Party. Yeah. And I think, like, I have a lot of respect for him because I will, even looking up, I remember waking up anymore. When I was living in England, I remember waking up anymore in 2004 and thing, dog, watching Sky Sports News and watching Totti Chipman from, like, in Syria and thing, dog. And we're talking, like, throwbacks and all kind of thing. And I think, also, people forget he won a World Cup. And he did win. And I like the whole one club thing as a Liverpool man. I was really hoping Gerrard would retire one club man, but unfortunately. I think bias.
He did it, dog. Nobody care about Galaxy.
Yeah. I think, biasly, why not? I'm going to go with Mane. But again, this is for bench. And either way, this will go anyway, dog. But for Mane, though, what he's done for my club, what he's done for his country, I think is something people don't really like fully grasp, you know. Obviously, last we realize the Ballon d'Or kind of the reason he gets so high in the Ballon d'Or vote is because of that. But
We get it.
Mahrez win the whole lot in England and African Cup of Nations, and they still didn't want to get the Mahrez praise. But
maybe if Mahrez was a good player, then
what you mean though? Mahrez single handedly dragged them to the African Cup of Nations finals and win it.
Virgil, there is no reason with this man.
Trust
and believe you are, Virgil. I have been fighting the Mahrez case against this man, dog. What an international accomplishment for Mohamed Salah.
Dog, Salah playing a World Cup, dog.
Hello. Wait. Can we just please get the stand, Brentson? I check three other ones. So could you
Hazard, because I don't play into the bias and boot him away, even though I really
do
like
it. Yeah, you don't want to stop the man. The man have a career to take on after football or in, like, fight and contest. Virgil, what's yours?
Mine had to be start. Start Hazard, bench Totti, sell Mane.
You got Mane ball up your club so many times. You
sell exactly. Man. I don't have Mane nowhere. Let me add something to my answer. Start Totti, bench Hazard, and send Mane to China or something. Send Mane to China. Sell Mane to China. Once he's not in Europe, I good with her. I don't want Mane.
I just had to say, dog, we had a peer, before we continue, I had a peer respect to my dog today.
Yeah, so see what we is. Know you cry. On that note, cool. Start bench sell between Edin Dzeko, Fernando Torres, and Bobby Firmino.
Dzeko, Torres. All clutch players, yes? All clutch players.
I threw in the shit just now, dog. But we are starting. Well, I know who I'm starting. And Musala would agree with you with who I'm starting with. I think that Dzeko will take the bench just because Torres is a snake, even though I do love Torres. But I think I actually watched this one from how I perceive their relationships now. Which is a real funny, thing to say because I put Mane in as he started last, as the benchman last time. But I think that, yeah, like Dzeko and Salah and Firmino and Salah had two iconic connections, in, and then Torres is a non-factor now, so later Torres, even though, you know, he's my dog, missionary for Chelsea. Maybe if he had played with Salah at Liverpool, Bobby Firmino starting and Dzeko benching because Dzeko is an extremely underrated player.
Yeah, for me is star Dzeko because, you know, Dzeko's a monster. Bench Firmino and sell Torres because I have no ties or affiliation to Torres. Torres, you know, he do your thing.
That's fair.
Do your thing, but you know, man never said no purpose for my life.
Darwin Clay.
I did 141 before, and I'm not going to because there's three players that I actually really like a lot. But for this one, mine is the exact same as Virgil one because I have been the founder of the Dzeko is underrated hive for time. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that that man made some better career choices. He would have been sat amongst the elite, so I really believe in him that much. So yeah, moving on. I have two more. De Rossi. Frank Lampard. Captain Leader Legend. Jordan Henderson.
So Henderson. Start Lampard, bench De Rossi, and Sal Henderson. I have no further comments other than that.
No, I had to go that same thing where it's like Hendo there for the
no kind of loyalty.
Nah, that's actually a disrespectful question you asked there. You can't be bringing in Henderson name and in them kind of conversations. Like, so.
I really didn't know who else to put it. So
dog,
yeah, boy.
You had
elite midfielders.
But you had Harvey Elliott right there.
Oh.
Yeah, that would make you unbreak us one, but if you had true Elliott.
If you say Genie, why not? Well, Lampard later, no?
So this next one, it don't make sense above Virgil in because the man just beat everybody else out, right? So Joel Matip, Gary Cahill, and Antonio Rudiger. Because he was Rudiger's teammate.
Sell Rudiger. Later, Mike Dog. I don't care. Then bench Cahill and keep Joel the giraffe matter.
Yeah, Rudiger had a guest sell. You know, might be for Rudiger. He had a guest sell. Matip on the bench. How good Matip was. I can't say it was, but him and that shot.
Was this good? Yeah, correct.
I would say though, mine is actually start Gary Cahill. I think.
Fair enough.
Phenomenally underrated. Dog.
That's fair.
And I think he's a Premier League hero, dog. Like, he was real talked down on by a lot of Chelsea fans during their peers of success, and that man was a serious part of it, bro. Like, they used to talk about that man like he was a bozo, but he was a rock dog. And I had a real affection for Gary Cahill. So, yeah, guys, start by itself. If you guys want to see anything else anymore, you guys could always let me know.
I like that concept, boy, John. I like it.
Yeah. We're going to go into the UCL ties this week. We have some that are on a knife edge. There are some that feels like they are decided. So the first one we're going to go into is Chelsea versus Dortmund. Anybody else fully believe in Dortmund's ability to capitulate any form of lead they have in life? I believe
you asking a man who have Haaland on his side. That
come on, oh yeah.
The thing is, with us, it might when we sign Jude, it might work the opposite way because we like the bottle too. So the two bottles together might make something great.
Create a super bottle. Or the anti bottle.
You see, we become. You see, on the club, I just turn into from the Liverpool to the bird, the chicken on the ball. chicken on the ball like Spurs.
I be real. I really do believe that Chelsea is gonna come back here and win. I don't think it'll be pretty. I think it'll be pretty boring. Actually, I would not be surprised if it is like 1-0 and they go into extra time and some real fluky goal. They win 2-1 and that is probably it. But I do think that any day that Dortmund gets one in this game is game over. Like, I don't trust Chelsea to score 2 in 90 minutes. Just being real. So, that is your challenge, boy, Jude, boy. Carry aside. And y'all could be in the quarterfinals and be one of what could be 4 German teams in the knockouts. Next up, we have Benfica versus Club Brugge. Benfica 2-0 up, and I kind of expected to see this. The thing is, right? You know, real funny, Enzo Fernandez could make a knockout now. He could have been a UCL quarterfinals with Benfica. Life funny. That's why you shouldn't rush your moves, bro. Although I don't think it's necessarily a bad move, but like, it was a very rushed move. The thing is, you could have waited somewhere, you would have gotten more suitors, and you was having a great campaign with Benfica. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you want to be signed to them debt row contracts, boy.
Death row, I like that.
Real. Next one, before we go into the big one for this week, is Tottenham versus AC Milan. I fully believe in Tottenham's lack of bottle, and the record that I will continue to spout to the end of times, that Antonio Conte has a singular one knockout win in his whole career as a manager of any Champions League team. And I don't expect that to increase this week. So I fully expect AC Milan to go on and win. Not necessarily tie. They might draw the tie, but yeah, go through in this game. Virgil, how does it feel, bro, to feel like AC Milan the cost for beating a quarterfinals of the UCL once again? Feels like when we was in school, it.
No, it's so surreal because, you know, the only good thing is that you don't get disappointed when you play your heart out and then you draw Barcelona in the quarterfinals and then, you know, Messi just runs to your side. But this time, you know,
I feel, Virgil. I have zero sympathy for you because in all my years of being in school with you, Virgil, I've been in the Champions League. Every single year, it was Barca and Bayern, and Barca and Bayern. Okay, shut up. The 1 year that we did the right thing and finished first in the group, you know who we draw? Bayern. But they come second, Madrid in that group.
Nah, boy.
But it's okay, guys. It's okay. It's okay.
Think about Milan right now. You know, Milan right now, obviously, you know, you're not really seeing them doing, you know, that big. You know, there's going to be a big hurdle for them. You know, if they get over this and get in quarterfinals, that's going to be a big momentum boost for them going forward, you know. It all depends on the luck of the draw and who they get. But for this tie, I know for a fact that it's not going to be easy and straightforward because they could have killed off this tie earlier. But Once you have the right personnel start, and you know we are Zlatan back. Yeah, you know, I just say I don't think we might win the tie, but if we end up drawing,
Zlatan is heritage, bro. You have no idea what I would do for Zlatan to score against Spurs this weekend, dog.
Exactly. So yeah, we are
cool to do. Nah, you know what we need, dog. Let me tell you what we need, dog. We need a 90+2 Origi.
I want Origi to get some minutes in that game. If not, start.
That would be hilarious, look. That would be hilarious. Like, imagine again. imagine Spurs getting Origi twice.
Also, like, all the AC Milan games you watch, what's the real scene with Charles the Cataler, boy? Why is he not doing great?
The thing about it, they have him playing. They aren't playing in some strange roles because they want to be the creative player. But it's about a time where he'll be more attacking way like previous clubs and whatnot. But in this, you know, with Milan don't really utilize the midfield unless they're just there to break up play. So when you have a player there to be creative, he's not going to get no chances. And, you know, all they expect is to get the ball to Leo. I want to Leo do his thing. So, a little difficult for him to get chances. But I hope the man get a little chance for the man. I feel like Milan have all the personnel to have to change the system and play a much creative attacking team. But, I mean, if that appeal, what do I not going to fight on the man? Manchester had to just get the wins.
And lastly, we have Bayern versus PSG. I am one of those that fully expect PSG to turn this around.
Oh, yeah.
I think that they were actually pretty good in the second half last week. That a most bizarre performance by Benji Pavard is what stopped them from actually equalizing before he gets it off. But I do think that they would be a lot more compact. And I do think when Mbappe and Messi started together that the advantage is with them. The advantage is with them. And if I'm not mistaken, Sadio Mane would not be available for this game. And that's a big miss for Bayern on their side. So, yeah. You guys have anything in the front? Or?
That's probably the only game I'm going to watch this week. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I've been really not going to waste my time Tuesday. Because Chelsea just hella boring, bro. Like, I'll watch. I hope the fans understand this is like a sign of respect to it. I will watch United dog in hopes of them going through a downfall. Right?
Yeah, that's
funny, right? But it's because like you respect them enough to that if they fall, it's funny. Dog, yeah. Chelsea is just
okay. It's like watching I don't know, like somebody injured trying to get up and walk with, you know?
Yeah, like, just sad, bro. Yeah. Just stay down. We don't care.
Hey, oh, it's just killing me. Wait, you see, I find every group chat I involve in football does evolve into a Chelsea group chat at some point because it just has so many fans. Wait.
Yeah.
And it's like, dog, we don't care, dog. Like, stop talking. Like, go and buy something, you know? Leave us alone.
I think we're going to leave it there, guys. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. This was a really fun episode. We love you guys so much. We are 1,010% having a UCL live event in June. We're going to more likely have it in the same place, but we prepare for it a lot better. We'll have more screens. We'll have more seats and stuff like that. Because, well, we kind of learned from last time. Love you guys so much. Thank you guys for coming on. And, yeah, catch you guys next time. See you soon.
And remember to always sit back on Zoom. And not everything requires a reaction. All right, continue.
Catch you guys next time. See you soon. Take it easy. Later. Love y'all.